Are you someone who has at one time or another lost something? Are you someone who has at one time or another lost something that was really important to you? Are you someone who has looked and looked and looked and still been unsuccessful in finding the lost item? Are you someone who nevertheless continued looking and one day found the item and responded with a considerable amount of relief and joy? It wasn't the first time this last summer that I was in that position. Been there, done that more than once. Prof. Sipper can attest to this. I asked him if he had maybe seen the item in Ingram Hall. No. Prof. Scheller can attest to this. Did he maybe find it in the car after the drive to the pastoral conference? I emailed Pastor Eichstead. Did anybody in Hale's Corners happen to find this? But no one had. No one had seen my ring of keys. Quite a few days later, I did find it, right where I put it. And when I did find it, I did feel that experience of joy and relief, a feeling to which everyone can relate who has lost and found. Think, for example, of the woman in the Lord's parable who lost one coin and went searching until she found it, was so overjoyed. Or of the shepherd who's described for us in a parallel account in Matthew 18. Matthew 18 was the section of Scripture that was selected for consideration this past weekend at Messiah, and in that chapter, the Lord says this: "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. The Son of Man came to save what was lost. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any one of these little ones should be lost." It's easy, isn't it, to feel less than concerned about something that belongs to someone else, to feel somewhat indifferent towards something which does not have personal association or benefit. I wouldn't expect you to feel the same level of excitement and joy that I felt over the finding of my keys any more than I would likely feel if the roles were reversed. Even though I truly felt a loss when I didn't know where they were, envisioning all sorts of hassles and possible expenses that might be necessary if they remained lost, they didn't cost me anything, but they opened doors to places I want to be able to go and are therefore very valuable to me. In somewhat the same fashion, perhaps, it's easy for us to feel little or no concern towards something which is nonetheless very, very important to the Lord, something very precious to Him, something that He really, really wants back if it is ever lost. And that is a human being, a human soul. When Jesus first spoke this parable, He was teaching His disciples not to look down on the littlest members of society, the children. Apparently, the disciples had failed to grasp this aspect, that the Lord's ministry was as much about children as it was about adults, as much looking to save little ones as anyone else. Sadly, we can slip into a perspective whereby we see certain people or certain categories, groups of people, as being beyond the scope of the Lord's concern. Perhaps we see somebody as being childish, either in age or in behavior. Perhaps we tend to view individuals as not being of the same ethnic background or as people who move in the same social circles. Perhaps individuals have brought upon themselves bad reputations. But sin has left all of us battered and nicked, kind of like some old keys. And yet, remarkably, we tend to focus on the scratches and shortcomings, both emotional and physical, of the other individuals, and can write other people off as being far too gone to be of any legitimate concern. But Jesus sees every member of the human race in an entirely different way. Every single person is deeply precious to Him, for He's given every person a soul, which He not only created, but redeemed. He poured out His life, His blood, His all to buy human souls back. Even though our redemption carried the highest imaginable cost, He was willing to pay it on our behalf. That's how much He loves us. That's how much He wants us to be with Him, close to Him again. He says sweepingly, "The Son of Man came to save what was lost. And your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." Jesus likens Himself in the parable to the kind of shepherd that doesn't rest, even if 1% of the flock has gone astray. Ordinarily, in business terms, the loss of 1% wouldn't be considered all that dramatic, all that earth-shattering. But the Lord will move mountains if it means the safe return of a lost lamb. Clearly expecting a positive response, He asked, "Will He not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off?" We are the wanderers by nature. Despite the marvelous care that our shepherd has shown us, we go our own way, despising, sadly, the perfect shepherding that He provides, the wonderful message that He presents in His gospel, the tremendous promise that He makes of a perfect life up ahead. We are quickly lured by the enticements of the world, even though they are laced with danger. Thankfully, the Lord comes after His lost sheep again and again. He keeps looking and gently brings back those who hear and heed His gracious call. He announces full and free forgiveness and thereby wins back, draws back, leads back to the fold of the faithful. The joy and excitement of retrieving something that was lost. We can feel it whenever we retrieve or find something that's even of temporal significance. How much joy isn't felt in heaven over the retrieval of something as important and precious as a blood-bought human soul. I tell you the truth, the shepherd is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. How joyful shouldn't we be then over the finding of one soul? And how desirous shouldn't we be to share the gospel, the only thing that can retrieve those who are lost? Nothing makes Jesus and the angels happier than the return of a lost soul, no matter who he or she might be. May we share in the goal and share in the joy. The hymn for this morning is hymn 777. The organ was turned off prior to chapel by someone, which erased my recorded hymn accompaniment, but hymn 77 has been sung many a time a cappella. Anyway, we'll be doing so this morning using the first three stanzas of hymn 777. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.